This is an ABC podcast.
This is the Conversation Hour with Rochelle Hunt and Jonathan Kendall.
Gee whiz. Video games have changed a lot since those days, haven't they, Rish?
I'm doing the robot dance, as we speak. It's pretty much my only dance move.
But when you think about the average video gamer, do you have an image of a teenage boy in his stinky bedroom for 15 hours a day, playing constantly and living on a diet of 2-minute noodles and energy drinks?
Well, that stereotype of video gamers, of teenage boys, as you just said, it's actually a little bit outdated. And we know that that's a big issue for a lot of people. But the average age of a video gamer in Australia is 34, and half of all players are female.
And as we just heard from that kind of clunky old music, games and gamers are changing. Things have changed a lot since I clocked Tony Hawk Pro Skater in year 12 in my bedroom. You don't even need a games console these days. They're a lot more inclusive. A lot of games are tailored for different demographics, older women, members of the LGBTQIA+ community, and even for people who are living with dementia, Rish.
So maybe this is you. Maybe you game, and when you tell people, they're really surprised. So do you bust the gaming stereotype?
On ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria, this is The Conversation Hour with Rochelle Hunt and Jonathan Kendall.
When I was gaming, you mentioned Tony Hawk. Even that seems kind of cool and contemporary to me, Jono, because mine was Donkey Kong, my friend.
Oh, yeah, that's all right. Donkey Kong was great. I'd played a bit of Donkey Kong, but,
They've changed a bit since then.
Changed a whole lot. Yeah, you talk about World of Warcraft and Call of Duty and Minecraft and all these games, Fortnite, where you don't even need a games console. You just need a computer with internet access and away you go.
But I even think those games are probably stereotyped as well. They're the ones that we think of, and they're the ones that are geared to the sweaty teenage boys that have lots of issues, that parents have concerns about. Games have transformed even beyond that as well. Yeah. They're really different. There are games that are inclusive now, making sure that whatever community you're connected to, that you feel seen and heard. There are some issues with harassment, though, in gaming for women. So if women make up half of the gaming community, there are some issues around that, but that is also being addressed. But if that's something that's of a concern to you or something that you've experienced,
now, Donna Boyle is busting the stereotype. She's from Sale. She's 59. She's been playing World of Warcraft online for the past 12 years, Donna. How did you get into it?
My eldest daughter, she was in her 20s, and I was going through some really bad health issues and couldn't get out of my chair and was going loopy at the time. She was actually playing it. And she said, "Mum, get into this. It'll pass the time." I said, "I'm not playing games." I was playing Spyro and things like that on PlayStation. Anyway, I got into it and I just couldn't get off it.
So what was it about it that you liked?
The fact that I could do anything I chose, and the people, they didn't know who I was. I didn't know who they were, but the friendliness. And it was just so different. And then when I got to know them over the time, and I don't know, it was just learning new things. The fact that I wasn't set on one different way of playing or it was just so different. And getting to know them, it was like a whole community. And when it got down to it, we were all the same. A lot of us had health issues. A lot of us were lonely.
Loneliness is an interesting one, isn't it?
We didn't get picked on. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of laughter. It still is.
Is there a sense of escapism there as well? I mean, lots of people will pay their money and go to the movies to escape their day-to-day life.
I'd rather get online. Yeah, I'd much rather get on. I didn't even know how to turn a computer on.
Wow. Has it helped with your computer literacy in other areas?
Definitely. And we're all in our 50s now, and we all said we're going to open a nursing home for wowsers. Just put us in a chair with a commode and a computer screen, and we're right.
So, Anna, when you go out and when you tell people, I mean, now that we can go out, I know it's been a bit of a tricky couple of years.
I don't want to go out, yes.
Well, I guess maybe that's a bit of a concern. But do people get surprised when, if someone says to you, "So what are your interests?" If you say, "Oh, well, I'm a gamer."
They do get shocked because I do a lot of craft and a lot of other things. I don't game all day. I did 12 years ago, but now I can get back on it for a couple of hours and I get my touch with other people and a bit of playtime and I just love it.
And a sense of belonging as well. I mean, you mentioned the word wowser there and opening an aged care home for wowsers, but that's the term for people who play World of Warcraft, right? So do you feel like there's a sense of belonging that you've got a community?
Yes, and I took a year off due to a bad marriage and a breakup and all this sort of stuff, but I was still able to go back and still feel like I hadn't been away.
Oh, Donna, I'm so glad. And you know what? I just learnt something then. When you said wowsers, I actually thought you meant wowsers. Like, as in...
and if you find a group in Australia, which, you know, we can meet up, and I've met them, and I never thought that would happen.
Yeah, well...
And you get some really stupid people on there, but...
Oh, there's stupid people everywhere.
That's right.
Yeah, honestly, everywhere. And you just pick them out. I would recommend it for anyone that's alone or all together. It doesn't matter, but... If you can't get out, and definitely during lockdown, it was my lifesaver.
Well, Donna, it sounds like you had a bit of a rough 12 months, and this has been something that's been really good for you. So I'm so glad. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're very welcome. I hope it inspires someone else to just get out and learn. Yeah.
That's Donna Boyle from Sail talking about playing World of Warcraft for the past 12 years. Lots of texts here as well. This one says, Jewel says, hi, I'm another old duck gamer chick here in my 50s. Started my gaming in the early 80s with Dungeons and Dragons. Moved through the realms of Sonic, Second Life, and these days I'm either building a world in Animal Crossing or slaying monsters in Genshin Impact. It takes my mind off the worries of the world, curbs loneliness, anxiety, and doesn't hurt anyone.
This one says, I'm a 35-year-old functioning female professional. I'm an emergency doctor and a bit of a Zelda addict. I love the puzzle element to gaming. Currently, I'm playing Super Mario Odyssey. My Nintendo Switch has been a great stress reliever over the last 12 months. That's from Rach in Yarraville. So stereotypes being busted everywhere here.
That's right. And the common thread coming through here is that it's just been so good over lockdowns, is that people can feel a sense of community and a sense of belonging and connection during lockdown. Chad is in Chilton. G'day, Chad. Go ahead.
Hi, how you going? Yeah, Chad from Cheltenham. I actually just wanted to mention, so I just love all these links to health at the moment. That's fantastic. But I'm just calling up as my brother's actually the gamer, and he's overseas at the moment. So he left on a plane to Germany, and he's with a team also from Melbourne, and they're playing professionally. So the links, I think, I think you were saying earlier that there's potentially billions of people around the world that are in on this. And it's something that I know nothing about and he's been educating me on.
And how did the rest of your family, how did they deal with this? Because there is also, like, we do have, and as we expected, and we do know that it's a big issue for younger people and for families. You know, we've got texts here saying that my stepson actually had to enter intense therapy for gaming addiction. You know, he spent 10 to 15 hours a day, even dropped out of school. So it can be a really big problem. But I guess what we're looking at today is that that's not necessarily the majority of people, that there is a large group of people that game that are older, that are women, and that are doing it and doing it in a really healthy way. Did your family have concerns, Chad?
Absolutely. And I'd say initially would be that our understanding of it wasn't quite clear. And since we've progressed our understanding around him, it's now become more supportive and providing access is still to exercise and friendship, rather than trying to say completely eliminate it, that it's a bad thing along the journey. A lot of the world's been created to support it. Now everyone's obviously highly invested, you know, that he's doing so well. It's a highly paid job. He has coaching and professional leadership and mentoring within it. So, yeah, absolutely, I agree. There were concerns early on that, you know, could sort of take up a lot of time. But it's more about, I think, opening up the avenues to still get out
for
there.
For work. And that's interesting too, Jono, when we think about, you know, not everyone's going to be like Chad's brother and be a professional gamer. But when you think about the work opportunities within this industry, it's one of the biggest leading industries and it's right here in Victoria. When we look at game design, when we look at animation, and we're going to be speaking to some industry bodies a little later on, I think that's something that's shifted and changed as well, is that it's not this like, oh, God, what are you doing that for? It's actually probably a really good industry to get into.
That's right. And so apparently, well, Melbourne does. Melbourne is home to 170 of Australia's 200 digital game studios. So it has, you know, we have the majority of digital game studios in Melbourne. And this is a huge industry. So last year, and I think partly because of lockdown, the global games industry was worth $180 billion. So that's more than movies and the sports industry combined. So $180 billion in that industry. It is, you know, if you're going to get into an industry, that's a pretty lucrative one to get into.
Ryan's in Croydon. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Good. What do you want to say?
I just kind of think this is, I mean, I think it's a great discussion, but I kind of think this is kind of old news now. I think the gaming demographic is so diverse now and so mainstream that it's the gaming tag or the gamer tag is kind of, as soon as we don't use the term moviegoer anymore, like gaming is so widespread and the industry has evolved so much, especially over the last sort of 5 to 10 years, you know, with Nintendo Switch, you know, being more family-orientated games and those sorts of things.
It's interesting that you say that, though, Ryan, because as soon as we sort of talk about this, and look, you're right, it probably is a little bit of old news, but it still caught us by surprise. But then we get huge pushback on text from people saying, no, 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 everyone that plays this is addicted, they're terrible, it's worse than smoking. You know, we do get that pushback that maybe it's not as mainstream or it's not as accepted or it's not as easy as what we think it to be.
I think you find that perhaps, you know, there's people that probably don't play who may be excluded or people who don't understand what video games are. Like if you play an app on your phone, and Pokemon Go is a good example, Pokemon Go's main demographic is actually middle-aged women who play that game majority. So I think some people don't necessarily understand what gaming actually is and what video games are and how they extend across multiple platforms. If you play something or do something too much, then it's a problem. Everything needs to be done in moderation, whether it be TV,
everything in moderation, Ryan, which is a really good motto. But you do see those people wandering around, and sometimes I'll see them in the Sale Botanic Gardens, and they're wandering around, and their head is just into their phone, and I've got a fair idea that they are playing Pokemon Go.
Is that still a thing?
I think it is still a bit of a thing. Oh, I never really got into it.
No, I remember being at the zoo in the butterfly enclosure. Everyone's like, butterflies are landing on me. And there was a group of people who were almost walking into you and walking into walls because they were looking for a Pokemon in the butterfly enclosure.
On the text line, this says, for my 8-year-old, the gaming community was his only contact with friends he had during the lockdown. He's now back at school, Cubs, cricket, circus training, and he still has friends online as well. So that sounds like a good balanced kind of social life. And Zoe says, I've been a gamer since I was a kid. I'm female and now 34. My siblings-in-law and I have racked up hours hanging out on video calls whilst playing Minecraft together during lockdown. We've also really got into the online board gaming community as well. Thank you for your call, Zoe. Stephanie Hex Bendixson is a gamer. She was host of ABC TV's Good Game. G'day, Stephanie. Is this old news? I mean, has the gaming industry kind of moved on and we've been kind of left behind and left a little bit shocked by how popular it is and how much people game these days?
I think there's definitely an awareness of games now that there wasn't before, but I think you're totally right in saying that a lot of people, even though they're aware of it, they still don't understand it and they're still really surprised when I try to explain to them the kinds of experiences that you can have now in video games. And there's still, I think, a bit of a stigma attached to games that I really wish we could shake because there's so many wonderful things happening in this industry that people are really missing out on.
Well, there's a text here that's pretty much that. It says, nup, gaming will always be for the nerds, unable to function in a non-game society. Get outside and experience things. Why would you encourage people to huddle over a computer? I mean, that's kind of a stereotype, isn't it?
It's a bit closed-minded, though, that text, isn't it? What do you think,
Hex? Yeah, and I think if you're not going to say the same thing about television, and look, maybe they would, but I feel like what frustrates me is that there's this kind of acceptance of TV binge culture at the moment where you can...
Yeah.
Say to your friends on Monday, oh, I spent the whole weekend binging 3 series of The Office. And everyone's like, oh, I love The Office. Great show. I binge that too. And yet if you say you played video games all weekend, then, you know, that's really frowned upon. Yet in one of them, you're just kind of zoned out in front of the TV. And in the other, you are socializing, you're engaging with other players to work together to solve problems and, you know, work as a team. You're engaging your brain and working your reflexes and reaction times. Like I would much rather do that than just kind of zone out in front of the TV and have a really incredible, engaging experience with people.
Is that stigma? I mean, you're talking about the stigma around gaming and gamers. Is that from the idea that a healthy person is getting outdoors and doing healthy things in the environment and then the opposite of that is staying inside and, as that texter said, huddling around a games console or a PC? Can we change that? How do we change that?
Game outside.
Well, you know, there's different things happening, obviously, with VR and sort of different types of games that get you moving. But I think ultimately it comes from this sort of latent hangover of the demographic of a gamer being someone who's a bit of a, you know, someone who ostracizes themselves and is not really a particularly social, and maybe they've found a connection with digital worlds because, you know, they're not able to function like a normal person, when that's just not the case anymore. As I've sort of been listening, you can hear people sort of saying that the average age of gamers is 36, and people don't like realize that
Believe
the
it.
Broad range of experiences yeah. there are now are just so exciting. To me, you know, narrative choice in video games is one of the most exciting parts of the industry because it's really what sets it apart and makes it entirely unique. When you watch a film or you read a book, you're passively involved in that story. But when you're controlling the character and you're making decisions about the story that are going to affect the outcome, you are so much more invested in that story and that experience. And it really stays with you and affects you in a way that, in my opinion, no other medium does. And, you know, I think in this past year with lockdown, I don't know what people who don't play video games have been doing to stay sane, because I'm, you know, chatting with my friends every
sourdough.
Night. Yeah, maybe. Decompressing and just like, and chatting about our day while we're, you know, working towards a common goal together and having fun. And I just think that's, you know, it's just, I feel very lucky.
Stephanie, that's something that interests me. I mean, I don't game. My daughter does. She loves Animal Crossing, and that's a game that I'm happy for her to play. She came to me the other day and she said, "Mom, I just paid off my home loan. I'm going to go to see the little town chief or whoever this little character is, because she wants to loan money to be able to build a veggie patch and all these kind of things." And it's a great game. I watch her play it with her friends. I even play it with her a little bit. But when you start to talk about socialising online, that's where, I guess, the fear of the unknown kicks in for me. Has that got safer? I mean, is there more information around who you're socialising with, who that person is, the harassment maybe that occurs, or the lies that are told potentially mm-hmm. from people that you're socialising with? Has that got easier to navigate?
I think so. I think there are definitely tools in place that you can use to kind of protect yourself and block anyone or report anyone that's behaving in a way that's making you uncomfortable or is being aggressive. But I mean, for me, the majority of my online encounters are with friends. Like, I'm rarely ever talking to anyone that I'm not in a group with playing a game cooperatively together. So I don't really come up against much harassment anymore, because I rarely listen to it because I'm not in those kind of voice channels. And I think for people that are worried, I understand that video games, you know, seem like a scary place because you don't know what's out there. But I would say that's true of the entire online space. And, you know, I think, you know, I'm not a parent, but I think the best thing you can do is just kind of talk to your kids and find out what games they're playing and what it is they like about them, and just kind of, you know, keep a watchful eye if you can on the kinds of games they're playing, because majority of the time they just want to have fun with their friends.
And maybe play with them as well. Maybe have a go yourself might be the way to understand a bit more about it.
I did. I'm really bad at it, but that's all right.
Oh, yeah, you've got cockroaches.
But it doesn't matter.
I've got cockroaches in my house. I didn't go there often enough. So
there's so many games now as well. Like, it makes me sad when people say, "Oh, I can't play games anymore because that's, you know, I'm just not fast enough or I'm not good enough." And there's so many gaming experiences you can have that don't rely on dexterity. There are games that are about puzzles, or there are games that are about story. There are games that are really cinematic and you're just kind of playing through a movie really and making choices, or there's strategy games. You know, there's all different kinds of things that are really, really fun and engaging that, you know, don't involve what you would traditionally expect a video game to be.
Yes, it's not all shoot 'em up games, you know, blokes sitting around in their bedroom yelling at each other on headsets. There's a lot more to the gaming environment than that. Hey, Stephanie, thank you so much for talking with us.
Oh, no, pleasure. I mean, video games are just one of the greatest things out there, and I'm happy to talk about them anytime.
Stephanie Bendixson, a gamer. She was host of the ABC TV's Good Game, and says that the idea of that stereotype of gamers being a, you know, a teenage boy in their bedroom has well and truly changed, and we've well and truly moved on from that because of the diversity of games that are being made now and diversity of players. Greg is in Lemnos. G'day, Greg. You play, don't you?
Yes, I do. I'm 52 years old and I'm a gamer. The reason I called was I heard that text before about they're all nerds. The three things I enjoy doing in my life with time off is gaming, going out into the bush, fall driving and camping, and going down to Waranga Basin and kayak fishing.
Oh, gosh. So you're busting stereotypes all over the place, Greg.
So, yes, it's certainly not the realm of nerds like, as you said, that very closed-minded person texted through.
Well, Greg, how did you get into it? How did you start?
Oh, look, it was probably, I actually remember buying a PlayStation 1. I saw the ad for it and thought, oh, my God, look at the graphics on it, which now are quite laughable, of course.
Retro. Well, that's what I used to play Tony Hawk on, Tony Hawk Pro Skater on a PlayStation 1.
Well, there you go. I used to actually play Gran Turismo and Virtual Rally. They were my two favourites. I actually still own a PlayStation 2 that every now and then I will play some of those older, more nostalgic games. But I've got an Xbox that my brother got more for me recently. And I play the shoot 'em up games. I play Battlefield. I play driving games, Dirt. I play Star Wars fantasy games. So I play a few different bits and pieces, but I think it is really one of those things where the stereotype of the kid sitting in the bedroom, and look, there are those, you know, 12-year-old kids sitting in the bedroom. I mean, you come across them from time to time, and they get very annoyed when you happen to shoot them and they find out you're a 52-year-old bloke, of course, too. But the stereotype is well and truly gone, and this is something that crosses so many cohorts of people across. You know, every demographic of person is out there playing, as you're finding out from talking to people.
Yeah, well, good on you. Look, thank you so much for your call and trying to change that stereotype, Greg. We've got to clear something up, Rish, because there's a text here saying, wait, I thought your daughter had paid off her home loan, but it was your house that had the cockroaches in it in this
My
game.
My house had the cockroaches. She's paid off her own home loan in Animal Crossing, and she's now going to, anyone that knows this game, there's all these little cool kind of creatures and critters that run these little towns and villages, and it's all about setting up this wonderful little environment and residents that will come and stay with you. And so she's been slowly building this house, and she just paid it off the other week. So she's paid off her home loan well and truly before I ever will, John.
Well, she's doing well. Hey, Joe from Mount Waverley wants to emphasise the social aspect of gaming. Joe says, my friend met her husband on World of Warcraft. She was in Ireland, he was in Belgium, and they've been married for 8 years and have two kids. They now live in Melbourne. So it's more than just, you know, than just socialising.
John's in Maidstone. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. Great discussion. So glad that we're having it, actually. I'm hoping that my baby boomer parents are listening, actually.
They don't like you playing, John?
I just don't think they understand it. I mean, I'm in my very late 40s, and I kind of grew up with gaming right from the early 80s with the BBC and Atari systems, and then on to the N64s and so on. And, I mean, just of late, I mean, I've kind of got into gaming with my daughter, who's now 13, but she lives in the north coast of New South Wales, so we found it a great way to connect.
Oh, and, right, remotely. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And I remember the time when we were on, everyone's saying names here, so I'm just going to say the name, when she got me to download Fortnite onto my system, and I was on it, and I was playing, and then just out of nowhere, I hear my daughter's voice in my ears. Oh. And it was just amazing. And it had been probably 4 or 5 months since I'd seen her, and it was just an incredible feeling. And we'd play regularly. Now she's moved on to other games like Animal Crossing and so on. But I kind of use online gaming to, because I live alone, it's good to sort of interact with people, particularly over the pandemic. When you live alone, you can sort of meet strangers online, and you spend 10 or 15 minutes with these people who you don't know who they are, but you sort of join together as a team, and you get those endorphins going.
And John, now that we're sort of out of lockdown and you're not needing it to connect as much, do you feel like you're not addicted, or you feel like now you're happy to socialise with people in the real world, in inverted commas?
Happy to. I mean, I've still got a pretty healthy social life, but I think I've kind of come to the conclusion that I'd almost prefer to spend 2 hours gaming rather than 2 hours watching TV or watching a movie. I kind of get more enjoyment out of it, I think.
Yeah. Well, it's more interactive. It's less passive.
And that's what Hex was saying as well, wasn't it? That, you know, it's screen time. And
yep.
I found it really interesting. Good on you, John. Thank you. I found it really interesting that we, and I hadn't thought about it like this, is that we actually do find it socially acceptable, most of us anyhow, to say, oh, I binged, you know, a hardcore on whatever it was, whatever show you're watching at the moment, you know.
Yep.
And people just go, yeah, yeah, me too. Or, you know, before I knew it, I'd watch six episodes. And we just really accept that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there was a text earlier saying, look, oh, we love to escape while the world burns, you know. But we've been using stories and telling stories and interactive stories since we all sat around, you know, campfires millions or hundreds of thousands of years ago. We've been telling stories and using stories to escape. So this is not this is nothing new. Not hundreds of thousands of years ago, but a long time ago, Rish. You get the point.
Yeah.
We've been using stories. So I don't know. I think we've always loved to escape into a good book. A movie, a TV show, or a video game. And this is just a continuation.
Let's have a chat now with, who have we got here? My screen seems to have frozen.
Let's have a chat with T from Tullamarine. G'day, T.
Hello.
You play, don't you?
I play heaps, yeah. You mentioned your Animal Crossing, play a bit of, like, shooters. I used to play, like, Overwatch, which was quite popular a few years ago. I think I heard, like, yeah, Zelda and Mario, so, like, quite a wide spread of games that have a mixture of, like, that sort of single-player experience and then also, like, online community experiences, like, online friends, as many people have said before.
There's lots of text here saying, you know, this is not for everyone, it's torn our family apart, and we know that there is a section of society where it can be quite problematic. Have you ever worried about the hours that you play, or that maybe it's becoming something that you want to do more often than you feel like you should be?
I mean, like, so just, like, you know, everyone's got, like, a hobby. I mean, for the people who don't even play games, for example, like, they might... You know, some people have mentioned, like, going out, like, that's an activity. It's just, I feel like there's that, I think the old sort of, like demonizing of, like, the whole screen time still, like, kind of comes into play, where we think it's, like, dangerous and, like inherently bad. But, like, I was going to try and challenge that, like, sort of old stereotype that, like, you know, if you're just a gamer, you can't do, like, you know, outdoor activities. You know, plenty of sports people play video games as well. And also, like, in the context of, like, say, esports, where people have to be competitive and, like, have their reflexes challenged, they're actually... You'd find
there's almost like an esports version of the Olympics, you know. I mean, esports is huge. We did a program on it last year, John O.T., thank you, and learning about, you know, what's the difference between an esport and video games as well, and then they are really different.
And you think about the reflexes that are used playing esports, and they're similar to other sports that are in the Olympics. You know, you think about target shooting and all of those sorts of sports where you need to be calm, you need to slow your breathing down and hit a target. There's a lot of similarities. There.
Apparently Pokemon Go is still a big thing. It says here we've got a text and we've been given someone steps. I've just played Pokemon Go. Right. I've walked 8.5 Ks, 1,200 steps. So you can't complain about some gains. That's from Sean. And another saying, yes, it is still a thing. I am a part of the community. It's growing every day worldwide. Pokemon Go in my area. There are groups. It's evolving. P.S. I'm 42 and started gaming with my son just to get involved.
Yeah, I was watching one of those TV shows the other day, you know, where they pull people over and they breath test them, et cetera, et cetera. And the cops pulled someone over for being not really attentive to their driving.
No.
And they were playing Pokemon Go while they were driving. So some people do really take it a little bit too far. But as
well, we said there are stupid people everywhere earlier on. And case in point.
Yes, yeah. But that texter earlier was saying, you know, I've walked 8,000 steps today because I'm getting out and trying to find these Pokemon. So
whatever gets you out the door.
That's right. That's right. So do you game, and are people surprised when you tell them that you play video games? Do you in some way break the stereotype of a, you know, sweaty teenager in their bedroom, locked in their bedroom, playing a video game?
This is The Conversation Hour with Rochelle Hunt and Jonathan Kendall.
Well, we're talking about busting the stereotype of gaming. Now, we know, we've done entire programs on this, and we do know that gaming is a big problem for a lot of families, and in particular for younger people and for teenage boys. But what today's program is about is the fact that they're not actually the majority of players, even though they're really problematic and a lot of work's being done into that. The average gamer is 34 to 36 years of age, and half of all gamers are women, and older women as well. So just sort of look at how do we change that image and that stereotype of who's gaming?
Well, I think it's got to change as well eventually, because just looking at how big the industry is and how big it got last year in lockdown, $180 billion that industry is worth. It's bigger than movies, it's bigger than sports combined. It is just so huge. So I think, and we're going to see an increase in that with esports and as that continues to gain popularity. So I think it just will become more and more accepted. And I think today is kind of part of that, of opening a lot of people's eyes to, you know, this is basically, this is mainstream now. Yeah. This is not a minority.
Yeah, it might be your downtime, so you don't watch television, you game instead. Megan's in Melbourne. Hi, Megan.
Hi there.
What did you want to say?
Well, look, my brother is in his 50s. We have lived in the same house for a couple of decades now, and he's always been a gamer. And at first, I was quite judgmental, like the person who was who texted earlier. I thought it was damaging, it was antisocial and so on. I talked about it with a friend who's also into gaming and a bit more articulate than my brother about it. And he explained to me that it's very social because you're talking to people, your friends and others online. There's also learning strategy and teamwork because they go on quests together and they have to work together to get to their goals and, you know, give each other, you know, health or whatever it is they do. I'm clearly not a gamer myself. But, you know, I came to the understanding that it was, you know, it was actually... you know, an actual important social thing for him, but also a really good way to teach kids to think.
Yeah. Hey, Megan, there's a text here saying, I have a diverse life. I belong to a service organisation. I teach casually. I talk with my wife. We both watch drama and I practice music for 90 minutes or more daily. I surely don't need gaming in my life. What do you say to people like that who just kind of dismiss gaming?
Well, look, I think each to their own, and I think we need to recognise that there are some people who are a lot more comfortable interacting with others, you know, within these frameworks that allow them to put away aside, you know, the visceral sort of like meaningless stuff like who looks like what and who's how old and whatever, and actually get to know each other as personalities. You know, but they also get to learn to work together with these different personalities. So I think it's a little it's a little narrow-minded to think that being online means that you're in some narrow, focused, tiny little world. If you talk to gamers, they often say that it's a whole big world that opens up to them.
So, Megan, it must be interesting, given that that's how you did feel and now you've changed your mind. Has it helped kind of calm your relationship with your brother? I could imagine if you didn't understand it and he was playing, there might have been a little bit of tension or something there. And now that you go, oh, okay, I get it. Do you get less frustrated with him?
I get less concerned about it. We've never had the sort of relationship where we're in each other's pockets. That's why we've lived together, you know, and lived separate lives so successfully for so long. You know, so I've always respected him. I was just concerned that he was becoming insular, but then I realised that that's quite the opposite. In fact, the biggest issue we've had is with lockdowns. He's got his own media room set up and he's been stuck in there working and then he's stuck in there playing his gaming all night. So it's actually more that he gets closed in this little
Abbey
hole.
I think that's what lots of people worry about. Yeah, interesting. That was fascinating. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a bit of a Road to Damascus type story from Megan. Haughty Chicken is a 58-year-old streamer from Melbourne. Haughty Chicken, that's not your real name. That's your online name, isn't it?
It is my online name. Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, very well. So how did you get into gaming?
Look, I've actually been playing games since I first came out. I remember the old Pong TV game when it was black and white. I think I might have been 14. And the Atari consoles, they came out when most folks in their 50s were still kids. And so that's when I started playing. And I've not stopped playing ever since. And I played more when I had my children. I think you were talking earlier about your own, I think your daughter's playing Animal Crossing, Rochelle.
Yes.
And so I started playing with my children to connect with them and also sort of supervise what they were doing and how they were playing. It's a fabulous game, and it's a good way to keep a little eye on. I agreed with the caller who said just be mindful of what they're playing and who they're playing with if they're not, you know, playing solo. And I've just played ever since, and I'll actually be 60 next birthday. And my mum is nearly 80. She's a gamer as well. My adult children are gamers.
Given that so many women play and older women play as well, did you find it easy or difficult to find a game where you felt like you were represented or that you felt comfortable or that wasn't geared towards men? Or, you know, did you find a world that you wanted to enter easily enough?
I think it's getting better. Originally, it was very difficult because it's very much a male-dominated industry from the development through to games and how they're marketed. But now, as you are stating the statistics, there's more and more women that are playing and more older people are playing because we are aging with the games that we play. And so, for example, World of Warcraft, which was the first multiplayer game that I played where I connected with other people, that's when I met other people who I knew were different genders and different ages. It's getting better, and I think the way that we can improve that is for older people, especially older women, saying, I play too, I'm here too.
Have you faced any abuse or prejudice when you're playing online?
Not so much online, so much streaming, yes, I think, because that's another barrier that women are sort of, especially older women, are pushing through. But look, I think you'll get that pretty much anywhere. As someone else said, the internet is the internet, and you've got to be mindful and be safe in those spaces and just be aware.
And how aware are you, I guess, with the internet when we talk, I mean, gosh, where do you start with it? But, you know, if you're looking at particular sites and you're used to sites, you sort of know how to protect yourself, or you know if something looks a bit dodgy or something pops up, you're like, yeah, actually, alarm bells are going off there. But if you're already entering into a world like gaming where you're relatively new or it all looks a bit different, do those alarm bells go off in a really obvious way? Like, how do you keep yourself safe?
I think awareness is key. And even if you do a little bit of homework, and I think too, I obviously game with family, and so we tend to, I think if you have a buddy, if you find a friend that you can trust, you have a friend that games that you can trust, speak to them. It's good to have, if you're new to a game or new to the gaming space, have yourself a little buddy system. Check in with a friend who games and ask them and bounce ideas off them. But you become aware quickly when something, if it doesn't seem right, chances are it's not. And you know what a troll looks like and sounds like very, very quickly.
Yeah, right. Now, Horty, you are a bit of a star because you have 10,000 followers on Twitch, which is the platform that you can get on and watch people game. How did that all happen?
It bumped up to 16,000 recently, actually.
Oh, sorry.
Get with it, Jono.
It only started last year. I started in the pandemic, had a bit of free time. I'm about to start my PhD, and a friend was streaming, and I thought, I'll go and sit to some older female gamers on here. And I couldn't find any, and I said to my husband, I think I'm going to stream. He fell off his chair just about. He said, you're not. And I said, look, no one will come and watch me. Well, they did the first day and they've not stopped. And that's the connection too. I think it's important to realise how important it is for people's mental wellness, especially during a pandemic.
What are you playing, Horty?
Oh, a bit of everything. Animal Crossing, World of Warcraft, Final Fantasy. I play a lot of games. I play a lot of games with my husband as well. But I play games that I can talk to the community. I don't play games that I can't give my attention to people because they advocate for mental health as well. So it's just a bit of a conversation. I say to folks, look, it's just a couple of us and a cup of tea and a biscuit, really, when in actual fact it's probably a couple of hundred.
That's a lot of bickies. Happy days. Well, my daughter will be very excited to know that I've pretty much managed to talk about Animal Crossing for this entire
She'll
program.
Be thrilled. She'll be
she got
be
all excited because, I mean, it's actually quite lovely. Like, I know during Halloween, and she'll know that there are certain things that are going to pop up and that the community will be celebrating. I'll be like, why are you up so early? She's like, oh, well, because, you know, the townspeople are having this party. And I'm like, oh, my.
That's lovely. Oh. It's a good choice for her. It's a very good choice.
You make me feel better. Thank you, Horty. Horty Chicken, 59-year-old streamer in Melbourne. And it's interesting too because people are saying, what about Untitled Goose Game? That was a game that was actually made in Melbourne. It's not a gamer's game. My 52-year-old wife loves it and she was anti-games. That's from Andy. We've actually interviewed the maker of that game, and it just goes to show you how many things are being made here in Melbourne.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, it's really interesting that 170 of the 200 digital game studios are in Melbourne. But just listening to this conversation, Rich, I'm remembering how I've had to temper my enthusiasm for some games over the years, because it probably would have been around 2009, 2010. I got right into a game called Tiny Chef, right? And this is a game where you are a chef, you run restaurants, mm-hmm. and you know, the idea is to expand your restaurant network, et cetera, et cetera. But you put certain dishes into the oven, and some really expensive dishes with French ingredients. And then you have to wait for sometimes 6 or 7 or 8 hours for them to come out of the oven. If you're not there to take them out of the oven and they burn. I know. So what I found myself doing was I'd wake up early. So I'd wake up early at, 5 o'clock or 4:30 or whatever, and get this thing out of the oven so that I could attract the diners, so that I could expand my restaurant
that
network.
That sounds awful.
I know. And I had to kind of just put my phone away for a while and just say, I've just got to get off this.
I'm so sick of cooking. If then my gaming was about cooking as well, I'd be like, no, thank you. I've well and surely had enough of that. Ron Curry is the CEO of Interactive Games and Entertainment Association of Australia. Ron, we've heard today there's just some huge advances, not only for older women, but LGBTIQ plus communities, even for those maybe that are living with dementia. When it comes to the stereotype of gaming, we've really got to think outside the box, don't we?
Yeah, we do. And good morning. And you're exactly right. We need to think outside the box, because there's a game for everybody. And we know that everybody's gaming.
Well, the figures certainly bearing that. I mean, not everyone is gaming, but it certainly is a huge market, and it's growing every day, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Look, we know that, close to 3/4 of Australians are playing games. There's 17 million Australians who are engaging with games, and that's, nearly 9 million households. And everyone from the grandparents down to the youngest kids, all getting engaged with it.
I know that you did a report just recently about looking at where gaming fits into our economic recovery. And over the last 2 years, we know that so many sections of our society have taken a huge hit when it comes to the economy. Where does gaming fit into an economic recovery?
I think gaming fits in nicely to it. If we look over the last couple of years, we've seen that while things have been tough, the gaming industry has done comparatively well to others. The industry's worth around $250 billion globally, so that's bigger than the film industry and the music industry combined, which shows the potential for Australia to take part in that economy, that creative tech economy, as we call it. Because it's not just about creating games, which are for entertainment, it's for creating games that have a purpose. And I heard you speaking about, games for people with dementia and learning and teaching. But it's also the skills that go with games. There's not just people who code, the programmers, but there's artists and narrators and storytellers and musicians and producers and directors. And these skills are transferable right across our economy, not just for games.
Yeah, and there are some games that are tackling some really complex and difficult social issues like family and domestic violence. So there's games being developed in Adelaide that are teaching people, family and friends, how they can help someone if they are experiencing domestic violence. There's one called Hannah, A Friend in Need, and it's a mobile game made in Adelaide by game developer Susanna Emery. So games can tackle a lot of thorny issues, can't they, Ron?
Yeah, and I think they're tackling these issues because of the way they engage people. We can read or we can watch a movie watch a documentary and gain some understanding. The immersiveness of the game allows us to really understand, and I guess the empathy is much higher when you're in a game experiencing it almost in first person. And as we move to things like VR and AR, that only becomes more acute in the way people can engage with the game to learn about something that's really important, and whether that's domestic violence or Alzheimer's or mental health or whatever that outcome might be.
Ron, while we've got you, let's have a chat with Ben. He's in Malvern. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What do you want to say?
Yeah, so I've been playing games for almost my entire life, and I've got a mate living with me at the moment, and pretty much the other games he would play, like in the old days, would be FIFA and Call of Duty, and that's pretty much it. And he wouldn't really go near other genres because he would see them as kind of nerd games. He was like, oh, those aren't for me because I'm not into nerdy stuff. But just the other day, he got curious and he asked if I could load up Skyrim for him. and he's been hooked on it every day since then.
And I don't even know what that game is. What 30-second elevator pitch of what that game's like?
Basically, great big world, fantasy stuff, magic, dragons, wizards. You start as a blank slate of a character, and you can venture out there and become whatever character you want.
Nice.
And Ben, it sounds like you. Did you hear that text earlier from someone saying, "Oh, you know, gaming's just for nerds"? Is that kind of what you're responding to?
Pretty much, yeah. Because that was the frame of mind that my mate used. But now he's calling me up at work going like, hey, how do I load up Skyrim again?
He might have started something that you're going to regret. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's have a chat with Guy. Guy's in Diamond Creek. Hi, Guy.
Hey. I've been listening avidly to all of this conversation. I'm actually a 61-year-old gamer. And have been gaming since the Commodore 64 was first out.
Mate, I hope you still got that.
Sadly, no. But I play online quite a bit and have been throughout lockdown. It's been a real saving grace, I think, for me. And I play on a thing called Infinite Galaxy, which allows a conversation to go across the globe, really. So I might be talking to someone who's living in Moscow about literature and someone who's living in America about how to build sheds.
Gosh, in a time when we can't travel, it's a great way to travel, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's a great connection. I mean, it's great to have this human connection across the board. There's a lot of people on this particular game that are just of like mind. They just want to play a game that's basically a space exploration game, resource gathering game. You have battles with aliens and stuff like that. So it's a lot of fun. It doesn't take up a lot of time. You play it online on your phone or on your tablet device, and you can make a lot of friends like that.
Yeah, battle it out with an alien.
And you get to travel without ever leaving your home, Guy. Thank you for that. Ron Curry is with us, CEO of Interactive Games and Entertainment Australia. Is that a common thread that you... I mean, we've heard that today, that it's just been so important throughout pandemic lockdowns, is that having these interactive games brings people together. Have you been hearing that, Ron?
Yeah, we have, and Guy was right. Games are about connection. And in fact, the research we did this year, we ended up with a tagline, connected by games, because that's the narrative that just kept coming through to us, that people are either connecting with other people or connecting with ideas and concepts. And as we're locked down, people are looking for ways to, how do we continue to be entertained? How do we continue to connect with our friends and our family and even people we don't know? And games delivered that.
And how is it changing, Ron, in that, you know, this text here saying, what about the elephant in the room, that they're sucking money out of people, or, you know, they're looking at the gaming industry is booming because at the expense of the vulnerable, or that addictive aspects are built into the games. I mean, when we look at how games are manufactured and built, have we seen a change in regulation that, you know, they're not built into to be addictive, or that that everything move you need to make is going to cost you money? Because that was a huge issue for a lot of people for some time.
Yeah, look, and you're absolutely right, Rochelle. You know, the industry needs to be ethical in the way it performs. It needs to understand the balance between games need to be engaging. Most things we do that are entertaining, television shows and books, we get to the end of the chapter and we need to go to the next chapter, or we need to go to the next episode of a Netflix show. But it needs to be done in a way that's mindful of not creating this a difference between an enjoyable need and a pathological need. So the industry does need to be careful there.
We're seeing that with social media as well, because part of their business, or their operation, is to try and keep people online for as long as possible. So they're, I mean,
and then sell stuff to them.
That's right, I guess,
the concern with gaming for a lot of people.
And obviously, games have to be compelling. That's the same as Ron was saying there about books and video, TV series and things like that. You want to leave someone on a cliffhanger at the end of an episode so that they want to keep watching. And it's the same with games. Thank you very much for your time, Ron. Ron Curry, the CEO of Interactive Games and Entertainment Association of Australia. Rich, have you changed the way you think about games after today?
Oh, look, I have. I mean, like some of our callers, I'm I'm right across the games to make sure that the games feel safe and appropriate and age appropriate. So that I'm not as fussed about. It's the length of time, you know. So making sure that you don't, your first, I know with my daughter anyhow, that it's not her first thing to do. That, you know, if she's got some spare time, the first thing she doesn't do is grab the Nintendo. And that starts to happen. So you get a bit concerned. You're like, ah, what are you doing? You know, go play on the, jump on the tramp, or let's go visit the neighbour, or, you know. So it's looking at time spent and addictive behaviour. More and so than the games, because I'm sort of across what she's playing.
There's so many things to think about too as a parent too, with screen time and limiting screen time, and then in lockdowns when you know there's schooling over screens. So
I think for kids it's really different though, you know, versus adults. You're sort of responsible for yourself, whereas for kids we're responsible for those children. But if we're talking people 50, 60, 70 years of age that are gaming, it's kind of up to them what they do, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's about being open-minded. I mean, we had that one text that was kind of pretty closed-minded about, you know, calling people nerds who play video games. But I think lots of people are increasingly open-minded about video games, and where once you saw this attitude that, oh, you know, why don't you just go outside and go for a run or skip.
I just can't believe that Pokemon Go is still a thing. Like, yeah, I am so behind the times. Like, I really, really am. But I guess it would have been a good thing to have played during lockdown when all we could do was walk, you know, when you've got your 2 hours. At least it gave you something different to look at, especially within your 5K radius, you know, you're following some little Pokemon thing around.
Yes. Narelle is in Bairnsdale. Morning, Narelle. You play games, don't you?
I certainly do. I'm 45, and have played since I was 12. I've been addicted to the Zelda series on the Nintendos. I think I've had every Nintendo, the original one. So, and I've now got my 14-year-old and 11-year-old daughters addicted as well. So, yes, we have lots of fun. And we're very addicted to Animal Crossing as well.
And have you faced stereotypes? Have you faced people kind of saying, oh, you shouldn't be playing games? Or, you know, has anyone said that to you?
I think I just joke with my friends and say I, you know, do play and I have a laugh. But I have another good friend. She's in her mid-20s. So she's the one that got me onto Animal Crossing. So it's just fun to connect up and, you know, you can go to each other's islands and...
I know. They're going to each other's islands. I feel like all of a sudden I'm not completely out of the loop. Narelle, thank you so much. I've actually really enjoyed today, Jono, and just hearing there is a lot of negative, I guess there's a huge negative side to gaming,
stigma.
But there's a lot of positive to come out of it as well, and especially for older women. And if you've been through a divorce or you're feeling lonely, there are huge issues around how you can connect and how you can connect safely. And if this is giving someone a really safe way to take their mind off things or to feel like that they're not alone, then all power to them.
Yeah, and I guess you do have to take precautions. Like, it's not a 100% safe way to do that. You still do need to remain safe online. But I guess it's changing the way you think about games as being, just something that young people do and, you know, sitting around in their bedrooms. But it is a lot more than that. And I think we are slowly getting there, Rish. We are starting to change. If you've missed some of the conversation today, or you've been listening and thinking, oh, look, I know someone who really should listen to this, you can get this on podcast. The Conversation Hour is available wherever you get your podcasts or on the ABC Listen app.
And you can always email us as well if you have a person or an idea that you'd like to share with us. Our email address, conversationhour@abc.net.au. Till we speak to you next time, take care and speak soon.